it's time to say good morning to Peter Allam. Peter, good morning on this kind of holiday Monday.
Yes, morning. I'm sure there are a lot of people that have taken the day off to make a long weekend, only going back to work on Wednesday. For businesses, it's a great idea as well. You can close the whole business and not corrupt everything in the office for one day, which is what we've done. And I wish my staff all the best today. May they have a great little 3 days off.
I'm sure they're going to enjoy it.
Yes, I'm sure they're going to. You know, it's the start of school holidays as well, so it makes a difference to be home with the kiddies.
Great.
Get the start of the holiday going for them. Can plan last. Today's chat is maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
I like to call it support systems because maintenance is no longer interpreted strictly as it was in the old days. You know, the meaning of the term maintenance is that it's the duty to support someone.
Mm-hmm.
The old days, one used to believe that it only belonged to parents of a child, that, you know, you had to support any child that was born in out of wedlock.
Mm-hmm.
And in the old days as well, of course, the person, if he had made someone pregnant, was not allowed to see the child, which was terrible. He had no right to that, but he had a duty to pay maintenance. But in the present circumstances, we talk about support, maintenance, alimony. You know, they come into the picture more fully. And what is it? You know, it's a duty to support.
Mm-hmm.
What does it cover? Well, you know, what the needs of the person are: food, clothes, medical, dental, accommodation, you know, education, you know, depending on the social position, the lifestyle, and the financial resources of the parties concerned, that we're able to get an amount that is payable for maintenance. So, you know, clothes, food, and shelter are the most important ones to make sure that the person is covered in that regard. And it embraces on more than just those necessaries. You know, today the scope of maintenance is determined according to the standard of living that the parties concerned enjoy. So if you come out of a situation where you've been maybe married or living with somebody and have accustomed them to a certain lifestyle, or because of their earnings, they are in a position to afford things in a certain lifestyle, that will be maintained.
Mm.
You know, the course will have a look at the background. The course will see what the parties are used to. So it's not just a case of, oh, rent is X, food is X, X is necessary for clothing, education, and things like that. They will have a look at the broader picture. In fact, the application form that you pull in is extensive and covers all sorts: pocket money, TV, car licenses, you know, TV licenses, schooling, medical aid, outside of medical. I think I mentioned pocket money comes into the picture these days. All those type of things are taken into account. Obviously, you've got various categories, and depending on the party, if you've got somebody that's unemployed, you can't expect to get maintenance unless, of course, they have a savings or something like that that you can dig into. Other than that, the ordinary old person in the street that gets a basic salary and cannot afford more than a certain amount is only expected to pay in accordance with what his income is.
Mm-hmm.
So the income and expenditure of all parties is taken into account. And it's not just a case of, oh, X wants maintenance from Mr. Y in the sum of 2,000 rand a month. It must be warranted. It must be shown that Mr. Y can afford it. So, you know, it's not as simple as just, that's the amount I want, that's the amount I need, and that's the amount I'm going to get. You're pretty mistaken if you think that is the position. That's why I always say to parties, negotiate with each other. There is a duty to pay maintenance. And, of course, my worst nightmare is when people come along to me and they say, I'm not going to let that man see his child until he pays maintenance. You know, maintenance and visitation rights are completely different. people need to learn that you only have one mother and one father. That child will find its parent that it's not allowed to visit or see in time to come, and then the other party invariably gets hurt because of that refusal to allow visitation rights. Don't play money off against visitation. My wise words to all people. Yes, important to get an income to be able to let the child survive, keep the child in an environment where they enjoy themselves and the day-to-day basics, but do it in the correct way. If you can't negotiate, you know, then the maintenance court, unfortunately, is where you can go. You can enter into an agreement through an attorney regarding maintenance and education and all the rest of it. There are various ways of doing it. One, you can enter into agreement signed by both parties, which if they default can be made an order of court at the maintenance court. Two, you can enter into agreements which stand. You know, it's not always a case of the sad thing is people always seem to fight when they split. Instead of just realizing that it's over, move on, pay your dues, keep everybody happy. That's a much better way of doing it. So the prerequisites are there. Like I also mentioned, you know, in the old days, it was a case of it had to be the parent of the child or something like that where maintenance was necessary. But, you know, it's now a reciprocal duty of support between parent and child. And what is more and more to be found in our law these days and in our courts is that an old elderly parent has a right to request maintenance from a child, no matter how old or how big. If the person is able to afford, the parent can request maintenance. And these days, to move into an old age home, and that is quite costly. You might find your parents didn't save sufficient enough to afford that, and that's where the children come to the party. And I'm extremely proud of how many of my friends contribute to their parents stay in a home. In fact, I had someone the other day that told me that the three siblings each contribute the full rental every month so that they leave the parents with a little pension, SASSA pension, and another little pension that they have to allow them to enjoy life, to continue a lifestyle where they can go out for dinner, where they can, you know, perhaps go to a restaurant to have a drink or two, still afford to buy themselves clothes and things like that. I think that is so nice when that happens. And that obviously shows the unity that the family has, the closeness of them. So don't think that as that your parents cannot claim maintenance from you. They have a duty. You know, the Children's Act has been amended, and it now provides that parental responsibility and rights include the responsibility and right to contribute to the maintenance of a child and vice versa. So be careful over there. You know, it's something that you need to bear in mind. You also get a situation where a lot of people don't realize is that if someone is hiding, which often happens, you can't find the father, but you know where the parents are. The mother of that child or the person who has custody of the child, in this day and age, sometimes it happens to be the father. You can go back after the grandparents. The grandparents have a right to the child. Grandparents have, well, not to say a right to the child, but grandparents have a duty to support the child. But quite often we hear people that have disappeared, people that have gone overseas to avoid maintenance and things like that, and left their parents behind in our country. You can go after them. There's no reason why you can't do that. So it's very important. You get all sorts of excuses. I mean, you know, in our court of law, some of our cases show that a father refuses to pay because he says, I was happily married. My wife had an affair with Joe Soap, who's extremely rich, ran away with him, extramarital affair. You know, the new partner who took my wife on must not. The law is not like that. You will still be liable. You know, it's not a case of blame the wife for running away and then the new boyfriend or husband or whatever must pay maintenance. But certainly the income and expenditure of that new couple together will be taken into account. You know, the common law doesn't allow for a reason of blame anymore. An irretrievable breakdown is what causes a couple to part. No longer a right and a wrong like the old days. So, you know, the estate of both is taken into account. You know, there's also nothing in life, shall I say, nothing in our cases that says the child needs 10 rand a month, each party must pay 5 rand, must be divided equally. It's based on the income and expenditure. It's an amount equivalent to the affordability of each of the parties. Often these days you get the mothers who are perhaps husband or ex-husband, and indeed the maintenance can be such that the father only pays a third and the mother pays two-thirds because of her position in life financially. So, you know, after divorce, don't think you're just going to get away with not paying maintenance. After divorce, don't think if you're the stronger income earner that you're going to pay less and punish the other party and make him pay. You know, all decisions concerning a child are strictly looked at. And it's there to protect the child's rights. It must be in the best interests of the child. The standards set for maintenance must be in the interests of all, justice for all. So, recommendation, and I'm very happy to say that I've been able to do that in a number of matters and done it on a basis where, you know, you then go out, and I get a lot of joy when I see somebody in the supermarket or somewhere and they say, Al, you gave us nice advice the other day. We now have no more trouble between the two of us. My husband sees the kids. He pays his maintenance. And, you know, that's the joy that I get out of life these days, to know that that can happen. You know, the thing to take into account as well is that how many times don't I have it where there's a maintenance matter pending, and somebody's remarried, and then the other party insists that the new wife or husband's income and expenditure is taken into account, and the other party says, no. I've got nothing to do with my new partner's income and expenditure and maintenance towards children, and that, unfortunately, it's going to come into the picture. You know, the lifestyle that is being led by the parties is what is taken into account, and if the one party can show that the other party has improved its lifestyle, its income and that type of thing through a new marriage or a new partnership or a new business venture, the court will investigate that. They have the right to take that into account.
Sure.
Medical expenses, very important as well. You know, make sure you keep a child on your medical aid. Often these days as well, which is nice, is that you see people partying and the one spouse is happy to keep the other spouse on their medical aid, which can be done these days. A lot of the medical aids allow for that. So, you know, the problem is that it's there. The support of the children is important. The support of the other party is important. So food, I repeat again, the things that are covered are food, are housing, medical care, clothing, education, and that type of thing. Don't waste the money on the cost of litigation when it could be contributing towards maintenance. Fight over silly amounts and spend with attorneys up to hundreds of thousands of rands fighting, you know, over something that's embarrassing at the end of the day, because you eventually come along and you get a 500 rand increase and you realize that you spent maybe 15,000-20,000. So you divide that out and it's 30 months of maintenance. So you need to be careful there. Also, a lot of people have a maintenance order made against them and disappear. Sadly, they don't realize that that maintenance order follows them for the rest of their life. Until it's set aside, it remains in place. So don't think you're clever by skipping the area where you are and not being known to where you are, or by going overseas and you think you're going to get away. They can chase you. They can chase you overseas. It's going to make it worse for you. Because, you know, they will recover the contributions outstanding. There are many, many decisions in that regard. Another thing that people seem to do is that they come along and they say, a typical one is in the medical field, where a parent takes someone to the doctor and there's an amount payable. And, of course, the medical aid doesn't pay it, so it's payable by the other party, and then the person deducts it from the maintenance, saying, well, I wasn't informed that my child was sick. I wasn't informed that my child went to the doctor. I'm not paying it. You know, my ex should have advised me beforehand. You can't just deduct expenses like that as well. Also, you know, various expenses that there are can't just be deducted neither. You know, you can't say, oh, my child wanted a new computer. Computer cost me 5,000 rand, so I won't be paying maintenance for 3 months because I've now had to provide a computer that it didn't allow for. I could have got him one for 1,000, so it's a 4,000 extraordinary expense. That doesn't happen. And what is it all about? Talking to each other. Communicating with each other. Having a happiness that, you know, just involves the children that need support. You're not paying maintenance and unless you have rehabilitative maintenance or unless somebody is ordered to pay maintenance for the ex-spouse for the rest of their life because they've come out of a 50-year marriage or something like that and the old man's run away with somebody, you know, if it's maintenance for the wife. But, I mean, you've got to take into account the situation that you have. And, you know, it's there. It's a support system. That's what you need to understand.
Right.
And that measure of support is never ending. You know, it's the custodian parent decides what education for the child. But these days, the nice thing is joint custody where people remain good friends, talk to each other, discuss, you know, where the child's going to be schooled, what type of social life the child is leading, clothing for the child, you know, all that type of thing. School holiday and that type of thing. A standard of living is maintained. The children are kept happy, which is what is necessary. So, yeah, you need to make sure that is all kept under control. That support system is very important. Another aspect of maintenance, Wayne, is how long do I have to pay maintenance for? You know, the perception is now there that no longer is 21 the age where the child becomes an adult. It's now 18. So I only have to pay maintenance until the child is 18. No, don't be mistaken by that. People do agreements and they put in there until the child is 18 or self-supporting. It goes beyond that. You know, a parent's duty does not cease when the child reaches a certain age, but it becomes invalid when the child becomes of a self-supporting nature. So where there's an existing order and maintenance is sought for major children, the onus is on the child itself to show the need for maintenance and how much is required. So majority is no longer the determining factor to stop maintenance. So don't come along and say, oh, my child's 18 now. That's the end of the maintenance.
The child is
still being schooled, you know. A lot of kids only finish school at age 19 these days.
Yes.
A lot of kids then go on to varsity. So, you know, if you've gone through a divorce and or if even, you know, where the parents were never married, there's still a duty on education and that type of thing after school. So, you know, the consent paper that's been entered into that says until age 18 or a major doesn't remain. It can be taken out and that type of thing. Also, you know, in the old days, I'm going back, which you don't see so much these days, but in the old Corsa days, you used to get what you call seduction and pregnancy. And then there was a fee payable for seduction and pregnancy. There was a fee payable for maintenance afterwards. There was a fee payable where unborn children come into effect. You know, it can include provision for the mother, for the child, not yet conceived. I mean, not yet born.
Right.
You know, that maintenance, you can find a lady who you've made pregnant and unfortunately she doesn't carry well the baby and she needs to be off in the last month. Her water is extremely full in her legs and all over the show and the doctors tell her to relax and stay home. You can be ordered to pay maintenance for that as well, that period of time.
Right.
So maintenance is unending. Don't think that you get away that, you know, it's only after birth and it's only the child you've got to support. The duty to support children, you know, is there. One that's very interesting is artificial fertilization. Yes, when you've got a sperm donor, he's not responsible for any maintenance or after birth or anything like that. So you do sign an indemnity at the time and that type of thing. You know, once or twice you hear of these. I had a parties the other day where the male was just not capable and They went on holiday and found somebody that made the woman pregnant. They were happy, came back, and then they split, and then she wanted to chase after the guy.
For maintenance.
One night with. Doesn't happen like that. But be careful of that. Don't make yourself a sperm donor illegally. Make sure that if you're going to assist someone in becoming pregnant, that their proper papers in place.
Yes,
otherwise, maintenance will bite you in the bum. So, you know, one night stand doesn't mean, she should have taken the necessary protection and that type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, be cautious. There's no reason why you can't use safety measures. So be very careful with that. Adopted children come into the picture. Yes, if you adopt a child, you're going to be responsible for maintenance.
Mm.
It's not a case of, I become unemployed, I no longer can afford it, let's go find the real mother and father.
It's just morph again.
Back on that. Yeah, invariably, though, you know, depending on the adoption, sometimes other parents are kept in the picture for reasons that, you know, they've adopted the child because of circumstances that don't allow them to keep the child and things like that.
Yes.
And you'll find that they contribute. Often I've had people where they've been adopted children, where the adopted children still stay in contact with their other parents. You know, you find it where the people have got addictions to drugs, alcohol.
Sort of circumstances, you know, that's...